Preach a little bit without the singing, but I sure like to preach after that singing. Amen. Singing just gets you all stirred up and makes you want to preach. Thank you, boys. Thank you, Denise. Good singing there. Amen. Just some good old conservative gospel singing. Well, okay, we're going to be in the Proverbs to start off this morning. In the book of the Proverbs. Worked on this one quite a bit this week. Hope it'll be a blessing to us. Proverbs. Let's start off in the 18th chapter of the Proverbs. We'll read one verse of Scripture there. And then we'll go to chapter 29 in the Proverbs. And then only the Lord knows where we'll go after that. But Proverbs 18, and we'll start with verse 10. Proverbs 18:10. What's the first word? All right, there you go. Okay, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Two key words there. Runneth and safe. And we're going to really zero in on the safe business here in a little bit. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 29. 29, and look at verse 25. Proverbs 29, verse 25. Starts off the same word, doesn't it? The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Runneth and safe. And then it says, once again, there. Whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this lovely morning. Thank you for the folks that's chosen to come and worship you in this place this morning. I'm honored the presence of every person that's here. I pray that our spiritual life has already been enriched for being a part of this service. Thank you for the Sunday school hour. Thank you, Lord, for the good singing that's leading up to the preaching of the Word of God. And Lord, it's my honor, my privilege given to me by you to stand in this pulpit this morning. Lord, you know how weak and frail we human beings are. Lord, I'm glad I recognize that. And Lord, I look to you for strength. Give me what I need to preach the message today. Help it, Lord, to be clear, simple, and right to the point. Whatever's accomplished, we give you the praise for it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Touching all the bases. That's a baseball term, isn't it? Touching all the bases. In America, baseball season's now well underway. Springtime. April here. April just about gone, by the way. But from T-ball, little children, T-ball, all the way to the World Series, many people will enjoy their summer pastime. Baseball, that's what they call it. America's pastime. Baseball season. Now, I'll be honest with you, I've never been a fan of baseball myself. And I'll tell you why. I think it's too slow. I mean, if you're going to do something, bless God, butt heads or do something, amen. To me, it's too slow, too boring, and it's just too scientific for me. So I'm just not a fan of baseball. Now, if you are, that's okay, but I'm just saying, not enough action, you know. Too many people standing around waiting for something to happen, amen. That's kind of like Baptists on a Wednesday night, amen. Just stand around waiting to see if something's going to happen. You know, you got 10 guys out there. You say, no, there's 10. You got a batter. Don't forget about him. Amen. 10 guys out there. 9 of them just waiting to see if anything's going to happen. If you like that, okay, but I don't. I don't know much about athletics. I know a little bit about it. I had athlete's feet one time. That's about all I know about athletics, okay. But some are like the fellow that once attended football games, watched them so often and watched them on television so much that one day his wife just said, honey, said, I've come to this conclusion. Said, you love football more than you love me. He never looked up on the television. He just said, you may be right. But he said, I love you more than I do basketball. When you read through the New Testament and all of the epistles of the Apostle Paul and all of his writings, I think Paul was one of those kind of guys that we differ on this subject. Chase, I think he loved athletics. I think Paul was probably an athlete himself. It's pretty obvious he went to a lot of games. He spoke about the field of athletics often. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. He says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Also, the writer of Hebrews, I think was Paul, but it doesn't make any difference. It's inspired and that's all that matters. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And folk, we are in a race. We are in a race. We're out front. But you better wake up and realize the enemy's about to catch up with us. I mean, they're right on our trail, right here in America. Our religious freedom is very quickly being jeopardized. Now, when you talk about baseball, most people will know what you're talking about. I said most people because there are some exceptions. I'll give you another illustration, and we're working right to the point of the message. A young couple ventured out to the ballpark one evening. They arrived late. In fact, a young couple, they didn't get there until the sixth inning. They came in, finally found their seat, and they sat down right in the middle of the sixth inning. The young lady asked her friend, said, what's the score? He looked at the scoreboard, and he said, 0-0. She said, oh, that's good. We haven't missed anything yet. So some folk don't really understand, like me, what it's all about, you know, when it comes to baseball. Now, for the next 25 or 30 minutes, I want you to sit up, and I want you to pay attention. And if you don't, you might miss what I am trying to tell you, okay? Because I'm going to tell you in the next 25 to 30 minutes exactly what you've got to know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. Okay, so sit up, pay attention. I read the other day in Acts chapter 8. I love reading that. Everybody's got their favorite chapters, but I love chapter 8 in the book of Acts because it talks about that Ethiopian eunuch. I mean, he come from a far country all the way to Jerusalem. But what concerns me, there's several things that concerns me about that story, and I'm going to tell you several of them. He comes from a far country. He comes all the way to Jerusalem. He attends church where thousands are being saved, but he slips through the crack. Evidently, nobody noticed him. Or consider this. There might have been a lot of precious folks there. Because after all, he was an Ethiopian. Somebody said, oh, he's not worth witnessing to. But there's one thing he got a hold of while he was there. He got a little portion of the Scripture. He walked away. I don't know if he found it lying on a table. I don't know if he found it lying on the ground. I'd want to believe somebody gave it to him. But he leaves with the book of Isaiah. And on the way back, and I want to tell you something. He was a prominent person. Because he was the treasurer, the queen's treasurer. I mean, he was a cabinet member. He had a position. In case you're reading that sometime, don't think it. He's controlling that chariot while he's reading. No, no. He ain't like some of you folks going down the road texting while you ought to be driving, amen? No, he wasn't that way. I think he had a chauffeur. He's sitting up in that chariot, and he's found a portion of God's Word. And he's reading from the book of Isaiah. But he's got a problem. He's reading, but he doesn't understand what he's reading. And so all of a sudden he looks up and sees this hitchhiker on the side of the road. So they stop and pick up this hitchhiker. This hitchhiker's name was Philip. Old Philip crawls up in the chariot. They take off, and they're cruising along, probably full speed, pedal to the metal. He's headed back home. Old Philip's sitting there, old hitchhiker Philip, he's sitting there. He looks over and he notices he's reading from Isaiah chapter 53. And so old Philip has asked him a question. He said, understandest thou what thou readest? Old eunuch looked at him, he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And the Scripture says that old Philip, that hitchhiker, took the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, folks, that's the way it ought to be. Preached unto him Jesus. You start me off in Genesis chapter 1. Before I'm finished, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. You can get way on the backside of Revelation. But before I'm finished, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Because he's what this thing's all about. No Jesus, no gospel. No Jesus, no church. See, my church didn't start on the day of Pentecost. The church I'm a part of, a local church like this, Jesus established during his personal ministry. And he put both ordinances inside that church, baptism, Lord's Supper, and got that thing started off right. Amen. Now on the day of Pentecost, he'd gone back to heaven, and he said, now without my presence, they're going to need some power. They're going to need some extra fuel. And the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. And that's the only thing that took place on the day of Pentecost, was the Holy Spirit came as a rushing mighty wind and empowered that church. And my friend, the reason the church is so dead in America and around the world today is because they've lost that power. When the Bible still says it's not by might nor by personal power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Without that Holy Ghost unction, that Holy Ghost power, all that we say or do is going to be in vain. Now, there are three things that you must understand in order to be saved. In the next few moments, we're going to talk about those. I'm using baseball, even though I'm not a great fan of it, as my illustrations today. But when a baseball player hits a home run, he got to be sure, first of all, that he touches every base. He can circle the bases. He can slide into home, or he can run across. But if he misses one base, he's O-U-T. He's out. So that's why that I've given the message, the title today, Touching All the Bases. If you intend to go to heaven, you've got to touch every single base. Not one or two. You've got to touch all of them. Now, keep that in mind, because those bases represent the three things that we must know to be safe at home, to be safe in heaven one day. Base number one, you got to realize you're a sinner. That's the only kind of people that Jesus Christ will save. It's sinners. You got to qualify as a sinner before you can be saved. Not only have you got, and by the way, look at this crowd over. We all qualify. Amen. I mean, it didn't take me long to come to that conclusion. We qualify. But you know what? You can qualify as a sinner without admitting that you're a sinner. So that's why I'm saying, base number one is you've got to come to grips with this thing and admit to yourself that you're a sinner. Luke 19:10 says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. A man has to realize that he is a lost sinner. Got to tell himself that. Got to admit to himself that he's a sinner. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. Somebody once told me, said, all means all, and that's all that it means. Pretty simple. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All you have to do is just look around, observation, and see that's still true today. Men just by nature go astray. Now, I talked about baseball season in April, getting baseball under the season. Guess what comes next? May. All of our kids start graduating from high schools and stuff. Guess what happened? 95% of them will go astray. Have you noticed how many, when they graduate from school, they graduate from the church? Graduate from home. All you got to do is just look around. All we like sheep have gone astray. Every man to his own way. But the good news is the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now consider that verse. It doesn't say how far we've strayed, does it? It just says that all have strayed. Now it's pretty obvious that some folks stray farther than others. You say, I'm not an alcoholic. I've never drank a beer. More power to you. Maybe that guy strayed farther than you did, but you still strayed. You say, well, all the drug culture that's going on in America and around the world today, but I'm thankful I'm not addicted to drugs. Thank God you're not. You may not have strayed that far, but the Bible says all have sinned. All have strayed. We've all missed the mark. So I've never fallen into immorality. I've never been disobedient to parents. Thank God. Maybe you haven't fallen into any of those situations, but the fact still remains, and you got to admit it, that you have strayed. And by nature, we stray. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. What does that mean? All. That's all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me see if I can illustrate that. How many of you ever threw darts at a bullseye? How many of you ever shot a gun at a bullseye? Now, I'll confess, it's confession time. I'm not a marksman. I'm not a marksman. I can't even kill a chicken with a shotgun. So if you give me a .22, the game has nothing to worry about. You say, what do you mean you couldn't kill a chicken with a shotgun? Because my mama told me one time, said, that hen keeps crowing like a rooster. Said, old saying, if they crow like a rooster, kill them. Said, go out there and shoot that thing. I said, okay. I got daddy's shotgun. Went out there and shot that chicken. Blew it plumb across the fence. Next morning, that same chicken was crowing again. I don't guess I even hit the chicken. The chicken flew across the fence. I took the gun back in the house. I said, Mom, I killed that chicken. She said, thank you, son. Next morning, that same chicken was out there crowing again. A couple of summers ago, grandson and kids, listen to me a minute. You don't have to tell everything you see or hear. You don't have to tell everything you see or hear. Took one of my grandsons down to pasture. He went to go squirrel hunting. We got that .22. Now, I was going to teach him how to steel hunt. I mean, I got patience. I can wait them out. A little bit, here come that big old fox squirrel. I wait him to get a little bit close. He walked out on the end of that limb. I reared up that 22. I shot. That old fox squirrel went. I thought I missed him. So I tried a second time. And he barked just a little bit louder. I never did kill that squirrel. We got back to the house. Bender, somebody said, "Where's the squirrels?" He said, "Pawpaw shot six times, never did hit that squirrel." Now that's true. I'm telling the truth, just exactly the way those things happen. So, you know, I'm not a marksman. I couldn't hit a bullseye. But let's just suppose that we put a bullseye over here on the wall. And we line everybody in here up in a line. And we give everybody a dart. We take turns. Everybody's going to throw a dart at the bullseye. Old Chase steps up. He fires. And he gets within a quarter of an inch of that bullseye. That's pretty good shooting. Man, get a quarter inch. Seth comes along. He throws a dart. He gets within a half inch of the bullseye. Now Chase has beat him a quarter of an inch. Brother Feast comes along. I think he's about in the same class I'm at on this kind of stuff. Oh, he says worse. So I get Brother Feast's dart. He throws that dart. He just barely hits the wall. He missed the mark by 12 feet. Seth only missed it a half inch. Chase got closer than that. Chase got within a quarter inch of that bullseye. But guess what? You're with me, aren't you? Every one of them missed the mark. Now listen to me. I hate to quote Obama, but don't get on your high horse. That's my way of finding out if y'all watch the news. Don't get on your high horse and think you're better than everybody else, because you're still a sinner. You've missed the mark. You got to admit that. You have missed the mark. Now, another illustration. Years ago, in Shoreham, England, a savings and loan company celebrated their 40th anniversary. So one of the directors of the savings and loan decided it's time to give away some prizes and celebrate. He said, let's also have a beauty contest. Another director spoke up and he said, "That's a great idea." He said, "This is our 40th anniversary." He said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "Let's have a beauty contest. And ladies only 40 years of age can enter." He said, "There's pretty women everywhere around here." And they said, "Okay, that sounds good. 40th anniversary, have a beauty contest for all the ladies at 40 years of age." And all of a sudden they realized they had a big problem. There was not a woman there to admit she was 40. Hey, you ladies all doing okay? They had a problem, didn't they? They wouldn't admit it. And do you know why multitudes are dying and going to hell? Because they will not admit that they're sinners. They miss first base. God has prizes. That prize is heaven. It's one He wants to give away. But He'll not give it to any person who refuses to admit that he or she's a sinner. Now that brings us to second base. I'm moving on pretty quick. I'm having fun. Are y'all having fun? There's second base. What's second base? You got to understand that Jesus died for sinners. You got to understand that. See, He became our sacrifice. All we like sheep have gone astray. Didn't I read that a few minutes ago? Yeah. All we like sheep have gone astray. And it says also, He is bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of peace is upon Him. With His stripes, we're healed. That's verse 6. All we like sheep are going astray and so forth. You've got to understand all those things. He became our sacrifice. Now, a sacrifice, listen to this. A sacrifice in baseball is when you advance because somebody else is out. It can be a sacrifice fly. A guy can hit that ball all the way out to center field. Whoa. Guy can catch it. He's out. The guy that hit it. However, whoever's on base that's fast on foot, once that guy catches that ball, that guy on third base, guess what he's going to do? He's going to take off and he's going to head for home. That's a sacrifice fly. There's also what's called a sacrifice bunt. The guy on first base can move to second base, but the guy that moved him on, he's out. It's called sacrifice. Jesus Christ became our sacrifice 2,000 years ago. That's the greatest sacrifice that's ever been made. There'll never be a sacrifice in baseball or any other area of life that even comes close to the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross of Calvary. 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. One of the seven cries that Jesus made from the cross, and the last one, the Bible says, He said, "It is finished." He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. It is finished. Now when He said that, you can rest assured that He hit a home run. He put the ball plumb out of the park when He died on the cross. Now, all we have to do is circle the bases. Jesus hit the home run. We have the wonderful privilege of being the pinch runner. Because of His sacrifice, Brother Mac, we're the pinch runner. And we get to circle those bases. That brings us to number 3. Third base. Third base is trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. You see, you can admit you're a sinner. You can hear the gospel message that Jesus died for you. But third base says there's a big difference between believing it up here and trusting Him. Not the same. Third base is trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can admit you're a sinner, know all about Jesus dying for you, without really trusting Him as your Savior. Believing in the head is not trusting Him. And you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I have the fear that that's about all the religion multitudes of church-going people have. They have a head knowledge. Question. You ask a question. You believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Oh, yeah. They have a head knowledge without having a heart knowledge. I can believe this podium will stand me up all day long. I can sit down there and say, yeah, I believe it will. But sitting down there and believing it will is not the same as me getting up here and trusting it. So you can believe. In order to be saved, when you say, I believe on Jesus Christ, that means you have received Him. John 1:12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even them that believe on His name. The word believe simply means to trust or to depend on. Now we experience and place trust in something every day of our life. in something every day of our life. Usually about the first thing I'll do on a Monday before noon is I'll head to the bank. You say, why do you do that? Be sure I put enough in there so my tithes check won't bounce. Because I don't want to create Sister Mary a whole lot of paperwork. Amen? So I'll be sure that thing clears the bank, Brother Mac. But you know what I do? I just put my trust in that bank. I put that money in there, and I walk out the door and get in my vehicle and head home. I'm trusting them to take care of that. If I can trust them with my money, why can't I trust Jesus Christ with my soul? Wow. I can believe an airplane will fly. I can go down to Searcy, Brother Collins, afternoon, and we could go over there and he could open that door. We could look at that airplane of his. And I said, you know, I believe that airplane will fly. But it's not. It's sitting in storage. See, believing that thing will fly is not the same as he pulling that thing out on the tarmac and me getting in that thing and sitting down and that thing taking off. Joe Curtis Hudson one time had an illustration on these baptismal regenerationist folks. Well, they use Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I think he had the best illustration I ever heard on that. He used an airplane like that. He said that, you know, they kind of remind me of folks that, you know, he that getteth on a plane and sitteth down shall fly to St. Louis. Well, that's true. But I got news for that crowd. He that getteth on the plane, he's going to get to St. Louis if he doesn't ever sit down. Amen? Now, he that getteth on the plane ought to sit down. But once he gets on that plane and it goes airborne, he's not going to bail out. You're not even going to push me out, honey. I'm not even going to get out. But I guarantee you, I get to St. Louis. Yeah. I never heard an illustration any better than that on that. He that believeth and is baptized. A believer ought to get baptized. Yes. But you're saved the moment you trust the Lord Jesus Christ. That is third base. When I get to heaven and they say, why should we let you in? I don't think that's going to happen. But if they'd say that, here's what I'm going to say. Because I've touched all the bases. I realized I was a sinner one day. And I believe that Jesus made the sacrifice for me. And I've trusted Him as my Savior. And I'm safe at home. I probably hadn't watched 10 baseball games in my life. Justine, I wish I would have told this when I preached Ronald's funeral. But in all the notes I had, I never thought about this one. But I was in St. Louis one time visiting them, and Ronald had some tickets, and we went to a Cardinals baseball game. And we were sitting there, and all of a sudden this guy comes down the steps, and he's got this big thing strapped on him, and he's got probably a case of some kind of beer all out in front of him. He reached, got a guy right down the middle of us wanted one of them. So this guy reached in and reached over Ronald and said, pass that down. Ronald said, I ain't a bartender. And refused to do it. Yeah, that's good. I wish I'd have told that. Of all the illustrations, things I said about Brother Ronald, I never thought about that one. But when I was putting this sermon together the other day, I thought about that. Didn't even make it in my notes, but amen, it came up on the computer screen right now. We need more folks to take a stand like that. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching that. It startled that guy. He didn't know what to do. Ronald, he said, I'm not a bartender. He kept watching the ball game. We need more folks to take a stand like that. I like it. I like it when an umpire, I used to go down years ago and watch the little kids play down here some. But I like the sound of that umpire, Brother Bill, when he says, safe!
Yes, sir.
I don't like that sound when an umpire says, out! It's a different sound. There's something about that safe that I like. And before they came up with this instant replay, the umpire's decision was final. Well, let me tell you something. One day we're going to stand before the judge. The umpire of this universe, there's not going to be any instant replay. When he says, out, you're out. But I hope he'll say, safe. Safe. at home? That old Philippian jailer asked that question one day to Paul and Silas. Said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I like Paul's answer. He didn't say, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." The umpire's decision is final. When you stand before that judge one day, the umpire of the universe, I hope you'll hear him say, "Saved at home." I close with this true story. Several years ago, engineer on the trains, a good Christian man. When he retired, he gave this speech. It'll take me about a minute and a half to read it. He said, "Men, I can't begin to tell you what Jesus has meant to me. Years ago, every night when I would finish my run, I'd pull the whistle, let out a blast just as we came around a curve. Then I'd look up to a small hill where stood a little white cottage. An old man and an old woman would be standing in the doorway. I'd lean out of the cab window. We'd wave at each other. And as my engine would shoot into a tunnel, the couple would turn and go back inside. And she'd say to him, 'Thank God Benny is safe home tonight.' But at the last, the day came when we took and laid Mother away. Then each night, as I came around the curve and blew the whistle, the little old man would be at the door. I'd wave to him and he'd wave to me. Then as my train shot through the tunnel, he'd turn and go slowly into the cottage saying, 'Thank God, Benny's safe home tonight.' But by and by, the time came when we carried Father out too. Now, when I finished my run, although I pulled the whistle and let out a blast, there are no dear ones there to welcome me home. But when my work on earth is done, when the last run has been made, and I've pulled the throttle and the whistle for the last time, as I draw near to heaven's gate, I know I shall see that same little old couple waiting there for me. And as I go sweeping through the gate, I'll see my dear old mother turn to my dear old father and hear her say, 'Thank God Benny is safe home at last.'" Amen. Amen. I hope one day, when you stand before that great umpire, that you'll hear him say, "Safe at home." But for some of you listening to me, if that happened today, that great umpire might have to say, "Out," because you missed one of the bases along the way. Let's stand together very quietly.